This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen,
podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 571. This is your host, Danny. And also we have the weekly co-host, Paris, in the house.
Hey, what's going on? No Peter today.
It's going to be very calm and quiet over here.
However he does it, I can't do it.
Yeah, he's a professional when it comes to the fan mail stuff. You know, but this episode is going to be strictly about fan mail. And we're getting ready for E3 2016 is happening very, very soon. So make sure to be subscribed to Gamertag Radio and listen to our daily content starting June 14th all the way through the 17th. And here's our E3 2016 promo.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2016.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interviews, roundtable discussion, the latest news from the crew,
everything you need to know,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews, VR, and more.
E3 2016 coverage from Gamertag Radio.
June 13th through the 17th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag. Paris, you ready for E3 or what?
I'm never ready, but I'm always ready, if that makes sense. You know how it is, man. Matter of fact, with some of the things that we got for Monday night before E3, I'm tired already. I don't, Uber is going to make a fortune off of us because, dude, it's already getting crazy.
Yeah, man. We have a lot of appointments booked already, and a lot of that coming very, very soon in a couple of days. It's going to be a very, very interesting E3 this year. And the cool thing, too, we're also going back to the CBS Radio LA studio. We're going to be recording there for a couple of days. And we are definitely going to have some guests. They're going to be joining us during that week, too. So I can't wait. That's the best part about E3, just seeing people from the industry, from the community there together, and there's going to be a lot of discussions, man. A lot of debates about the things that we're going to get to see over there at the conference and stuff, man.
I say it every year. My favorite thing, again, it's just seeing everybody. You know, it's like kind of like the high school reunion every year. We get that with E3, but my favorite part of E3 is after the press conferences every time, because we never agree ever. there's always dude, you're crazy. So Microsoft was better. Nah, man, PlayStation was better. Did you see they had that, you know, or whatever. It's so much fun. I love it. And then Danny right there with the recorder recording the whole thing. And I'm like, dude, you recorded that. You can't put that out.
Yeah. No, you know what it is? You know what it is too, that I love about E3 is the right after the press conference, I get my recorder. And the thing is, at the moment, is that first reaction.
Yep.
Those moments is... Because the thing is, once you're out of the convention, I mean, once you're out of the press conference and you take your bus ride to the next location you have to go, you're actually thinking, processing everything, all the information, and then your opinion might change. But at the moment, right after the press conference, is a different reaction. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I like to take advantage and just record that moment and see what happens. Because look, sometimes we might agree, oh my god, best press conference, and then later on when we actually sit down, I'll say, wait a minute, is it the best press conference? I don't know, man. The more I think about it, I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like doing that, love doing that. So a perfect example, I think it was the one 2013 when Sony and Microsoft announced both consoles. We changed our mind back and forth like that day, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was just thinking, I was like, man, I should go back and listen to that. Like, what were we saying when we walked out of Microsoft for the first time? And then what were we saying? Like, because remember, EA was after that. What were we saying during then? And then obviously, what did we say before PlayStation and right after PlayStation? Because I remember I was adamant that I was like, look, if Microsoft's doing this always on thing, Sony's doing it too. There's no way they're going to do this and Sony doesn't do it too. Yeah, and then when Sony had the little video where Adam Boyles handed Yoshida the, he was like, this is how you trade games. And then he just handed him the game.
And this is how you lend games to friends.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was so awesome. Yeah. Man, I'll never forget that, dude. I know we talked about it so many times, but it was like one of those rare moments at E3. $3.99. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was like a rare moment. And hearing the crowd's reaction, like, I hope we get to see that again this
year,
man.
I've never, you know, we've talked about this a million times already, but I've never heard a crowd, just that energy that was in there that night when they said $3.99. That was surreal. Look, you didn't get the full brunt of it because you're going to the bathroom, but
yes.
Man, that was nuts because no one expected it. Everyone expected them to do what Microsoft did, and they did the exact opposite. And it literally, like, what we're about to talk about right now, I swear, is the culmination of that night, is what we're about to talk about right now.
Yeah. So speaking of that, before we play our voicemails and everything, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertagDownload. Download our past episodes there and share with your friends. And also, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Whenever you get the chance, if you're an iTunes listener, head over to our iTunes page and post a review. It will help us big time. Speaking of that, I read a recent review, which is hilarious.
You know what? I actually suggest, and we won't even say what it is because it doesn't need the pub. But if you go take a look at our latest reviews, the latest review that we got
from the US
page,
because it's
different.
US
page. And
it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. So, do that. Also, give us a call. 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
SpeakPipe.
Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. If you would like to leave a voicemail, you can record it through your computer or iPhone, Android device, and you can send it through there too.
And the reason we're pushing that is because we know we got a lot of international listeners, and that's probably going to be your easiest way to get us a voice commentary.
Yeah. You can do this too, because we have an international listener that sent us a voicemail. He actually recorded the audio from his phone, and he sent it through the email. You could do it like that too, which is easier too. So either way, you have different ways to contact us, and we definitely will play on the show and read your emails. So... all right, it's about the time. Fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Yeah, P.S. not here, so it's going to be kind of awkward to do the whole fan mail stuff, man. So the first question, and this is a great way for us to start the conversation about E3. So we're going to play it right about now.
Hey, guys. This is Joe from San Antonio. Longtime listener and big Xbox Live fan ever since the Xbox Live beta. I got an E3 prediction for you all. I got a feeling Phil is going to go big this year. I think that he's going to make a big announcement where they're even going to extend their partnership with Oculus even more. And I feel like it's going to get tied in with a new Xbox that is going to be backwards compatible like the PS4 you guys mentioned. So here's some of my thoughts on that. I think that, with Microsoft merging the Windows Store and Xbox this summer, it's going to become even more like a PC. And I can really see that that a lot of the Oculus games that are already out there might even be compatible with the new Xbox that comes out. Hey, just wanted to get your thoughts and keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
All right, Paris, this is from a longtime listener, E3 Predictions. He talked about... Oculus and about the new Xbox that the rumor has been going around about this new Xbox stuff. I know he sent this before the news got leaked, so we're definitely going to talk about that. But thanks for sending us that voicemail, man. So
maybe Joe is Miss Leo. Maybe that's the real Miss Leo because it's funny. He sent this before it got announced, And it was pretty spot on because, and again, Joe, you know, thank you for sending the voicemail. But
thanks, man.
You know, last week I kind of talked about this a little bit. I don't know if Danny can even find the clip or whatever, but I mean, this is basically what I was saying is they're going to come out with a slim. Again, these are all rumors and speculation. We won't know anything until we get to E3, but it sounds like Microsoft is going to come out with a Xbox One Slim. It sounds like it might have some 4K capability. Actually, let's back up for just a second. Paul Thurrott, I forget the guy's name, but he works with Paul Thurrott. He had a live streaming podcast on YouTube a few days ago. This is when all this stuff got blown out earlier in the week. And he laid out what he'd been hearing, what that Microsoft was going to do. So not only are we looking at an Xbox One Slim, we're also looking at an Xbox, and I'm doing air quotes, TV, that basically is going to be like a streaming device that you can put on your TV. It'll talk to your Windows 10 PC. So it sounds like some of the Windows 10 games you might be able to stream to your television along with other Windows 10 apps using that device. That'll be your cheap device. You'll have the Xbox One Slim, which we're all assuming they're going to lower the price on. It may or may not have some 4K streaming capabilities. I mean, obviously, we'll see it E3. And then the big one is going to be, you know, in 2017, in the fall of 2017, because now Polygon, Kotaku, and some other people have heard from some sources that the Scorpio is the code name, will be the quote unquote Xbox 1.5. This is what Phil Spencer was talking about at that spring showcase earlier this year, that it's going to be backwards compatible with Xbox One, maybe even Xbox 360, I'm assuming it would be, and then like forward compatible with whatever future hardware coming down the line. And it sounds like a lot of, you know, they're going to integrate Windows 10, the Xbox store and the Windows 10 store are going to be integrated into one thing moving forward. All the flagship games are going to be on Windows 10 because, you know, they're going with the whole UWP initiative. And the bottom line on all this is going to be choice, which I think, look, you guys know how grumpy I've been about a lot of things that Microsoft has done, but this is something that absolutely 100% excites me, that if this is the direction they're going, Phil Spencer gets on that stage in a couple of weeks and announces this is where they're headed with their gaming initiative, thumbs up, because you're catering to every segment of your audience. You know, you have the Xbox One Slim, which is going to be your cheap option. It's, you know, mom and dad don't want to spend a bunch of money, but, you know, little Johnny want to play his games. They can go get that. You have your enthusiast crowd that wants the high-end console that's doing 4K streaming and, you know, the beefier GPU and all this stuff, and it can still play your older games at the same time. That's what the Scorpio is going to be for you. Obviously, the direct competitor to whatever Sony's doing with this Neo. Then, for weirdos like me, you're also saying if you got a high-end PC with your 1080 Ti Xi12 GPU in it and you want to play your games at the highest possible ultra settings possible, potentially in 4K and all that, we're putting all our games, all the games, Halo, Gears, everything, is because, again, this is what the rumor sounds like they're going to do. They're going to be on Windows 10, and you can play them on Windows 10. But, hey, also, if you don't necessarily want to be sitting in your office playing your Microsoft games, we're going to give you that streaming box as well that you can put on your television, and you can stream the games from your PC to your television. It's freaking brilliant. And I would assume in this scenario, your Xbox One is also going to be capable of doing that streaming from your PC as well. Now, can I ask you this?
Is it possible for those streaming devices that's also coming out that's only for the TV, and you could stream stuff from your Windows 10, do you think those devices you could also stream from your PC to your television of your games that you could also play it from your TV? Is it possible? Because Alienware, like Steam Machine, they have like little devices like that you could stream from your PC to your television and just connect it through there. And you don't need no hard drive or anything for that.
That's
device.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying this is. That's exactly
But I mean,
what I'm
for
saying.
The smaller, I'm talking about for like the version that looks like a Chromecast.
Yeah, that's,
maybe like an
that's
Apple TV.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you meant like, I thought you were talking about the only the expensive Xbox.
No. Not the expensive. Okay. I'm saying it would have that capability, obviously, because I think whatever the streaming thing would be, all of them will be able to do it, right? But my point is, If you don't want to buy a console, but you still want the capability of playing games out in your living room on your big screen TV, they're going to provide you, like you said, this little streaming box. I'm sure it'll be $100 or less that will be able to do that. It's basically like the Steam Link. Like I have the Steam Link and that's what I do right now.
Steam Link, that's the name of it. Okay, yeah, I was calling a Steam machine.
Right. Right. Okay. So if I want to play my Steam games, I use my Steam Link to do that. And also my NVIDIA Shield is capable of doing that as well. Mm-hmm. But that along with, again, it's rumors. It sounds like a strong possibility that Microsoft and Oculus is going to partner up and we're going to see VR on the Scorpio. And there's also been some rumblings. We've got a few emails about appointments and stuff talking about VR. Check out a VR demo attached to Xbox or whatever. So something's happening at E3 with Microsoft and VR.
I'm excited for that, Paris, because, you know, in a way, every time I listen to you guys, I'm like, man, should I get a PC? Should I get it? Because I'm curious about this whole Oculus stuff, right?
Yeah.
But now that if this happens, that you could play Oculus on a console, then what is the purpose of me buying a PC? Because I don't want to spend a lot of money on just getting a computer. Might as well just keep it the price low and play on a console, and it's a lot easier for me, you know, instead of getting, you know, upgrading and all this stuff. Like, it's not for me. And I know there's a crowd out there that will feel the same way as me, you know, like the same thing. Like, they don't want to spend so much money on that stuff, you know. So I'm excited about that, man. You know, and here's the thing that excites me the most about this whole rumor stuff, about the whole choice thing. It reminds me a lot of the old school Xbox 360 when it first launched. You had a choice. There was multiple different versions of Xbox that you could buy. The cheaper hard drive, the bigger hard drive, face plates. And it reminds me of that type of vibe, that you have the choice of what type of console you want to buy, what type of device, you know? So I like that they're doing this, because at the same time, like, look, if you're a PC gamer, you could play PC on this. You could stream it on your TV. You're into consoles? Yes, we have cheaper version of a console, or you could also buy the most expensive one to get
the most.
I love that. I love it, and I hope they stick with that, man.
Yeah, I do. I do too. Well, again, and we're in early days, and like I said, what Phil Spencer said at that spring showcase is really starting to come into focus, and I'm sure they're going to completely elaborate on this and blow it out at E3 this year. But it's about UWP. It's about the Universal Windows Platform. In other words, Windows 10. Is the platform that they're playing their games on. The piece of hardware, the piece of plastic that you use to power that experience is irrelevant to Microsoft. They want you in their ecosystem. That's what they're trying to do. They want you on Windows 10, be it Xbox, be it Xbox One, Xbox Scorpio, you're building your own PC, a streaming device. They don't care. As long as Windows 10 is powering that experience and you're playing and buying Microsoft games in their ecosystem, they're happy. That's what they want. And that's what I want. Because, like, you know, the thing that I've been ranting and raving about the past few months, everyone was up in arms. Oh, you got rid of your Xbox One. Think about it. I've always said I'm doing this because the games are going to be on Windows 10. And like I said, it came, we've seen with the Halo 5 thing with Forge now, and it came out now that Halo 6 is most likely going to also be on Windows 10. And I'm just assuming at this point, Gears 4, they're going to announce it at E3 that Gears 4 is on Windows 10. I don't see if they're going to talk all this great stuff they're going to do, and then, oh yeah, but Crackdown 3, Gears 4, Sea of Thieves, we're not putting those on Windows 10. Wouldn't make sense at this point. So I'm still going to be playing games, Xbox games. I'm just going to do it on my Windows 10 PC.
Because
it's one less console I need under my television. You know what I mean? And I'm still playing games. And it sounds like with all this crossplay stuff that they're doing, we're all still going to be playing together. They're not separating people out. They're just giving you choice about the hardware that you play these games on. Now, I'm going to say this. And look, this is my one negative thing I have to say.
Okay.
I believe once we get to 2017 and we start seeing all the Scorpio games, and this also applies on the Sony side as well. If you're playing on an Xbox One and you're playing on a PlayStation 4 and you're playing these Scorpio / Neo games moving forward, your experience is going to be garbage on the base system. I can already sense it.
I hope not. I mean,
I know
graphically it might look a little bit different.
I think it's going to be a lot bit.
Really?
Not like, oh my God, it's 20 frames per second and it, you know, everything's in freaking 540p. It's going to be that drastic difference of playing a PC game in medium settings versus ultra settings. I think,
but it's like that's that, it's like, the difference. Yeah, it's like that with PC. It happens all the time.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I think people are going to have to understand your Xbox One and your PlayStation 4 is now just a mid-tier PC. They're pushing the Neo and the Scorpio. That's going to be your high-end experience. And there's going to be a noticeable difference in the games. Because if there wasn't, why the heck would you go buy a Scorpio or a or a Neo? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look. If you're buying a console, they're going to push you to want to buy the more expensive one, not the cheaper one. They're basically going to have the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 as these base models as the cheapest entry into their ecosystem. So they're like, hey, $199 Xbox One, you can play all your games on it. They may not look great, as great as they do on the Scorpio, but you're playing the same games. That's going to be the message that they're putting out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a thing that I had an issue with Nintendo lately. Well, actually, been like a year or two. So they released a new version of the 3DS, right?
Right.
Which they call it the new 3DS. That device, there's certain games that is only available for that device because it's a stronger handheld than the previous 3DS systems. So I don't want a situation like this from Sony or Microsoft that, okay, we have this game that's coming out, but it's only going to be available for the newer systems and not in the older ones because of the graphics and the power and so on. And that, to me, you're going to be separating the community, the gamers. They're going to be extremely pissed, especially those that have the low-end consoles. They can't play those at all because of the power, you know? So I hope they don't announce games in the future that's only going to be available for the stronger, the more powerful consoles, you know?
I give it 2 years after they both come out, you're going to start seeing that. It's just how it works. But at the same time, the way consoles are working, this is the year. It changes. We are no longer going with this 5 to 7 year console cycle anymore. You're going to start seeing more of like we see with smartphones. Every couple of years, they're going to start upgrading the hardware of these things. So in that sense, you know, Xbox 3 or PlayStation 5 or whatever they're, you know, we would logically call the next pieces of hardware, these things kind of goes out the window. They're literally going to keep everything in the same architecture, in the same ecosystem, because that's, again, this is why they went to x86. It's just kind of the standard architecture across the board. And the power of your hardware goes up, so the gaming experience can kind of go up along with it. But at the same time, the older systems are still going to be able to play those higher end games just at a lower, you know, at a lower spec, basically. You know what I mean? And then it you got to look at it like this. They're probably going to say an Xbox One can play a Scorpio game, right? Or a PlayStation 4 can play a Neo game. But then when we get to whatever the next system beyond that is, the Xbox One's not going to be able to play that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not going to support it.
Yeah. Do you remember this? Let's take it way back for those old school gamers. Nintendo 64, Perfect Dark came out, and you needed to get
it came with Donkey Kong 64. It was the four megabytes of RAM. My God, yes. How far have we come?
So if you play Perfect Dark without that, there was a lot of features not available in the game.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember. I know what you're saying, but go back to the Super Nintendo. Wasn't a Star Fox game? Wasn't there something? There was something with a Star Fox game, too, that you couldn't play it with all the features. Like, there was some graphic.
No, not Super Nintendo. It was only the Nintendo 64, the Star Fox for that game.
It was
Star Fox, Donkey Kong, Perfect Dark, and I think there was, I think Wolf Squadron from Star Wars game.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, there was a couple things that were a couple of features that was not available. Even graphically, you can notice the differences, too. And even the sound of the game, like when you play Star Wars, without that, it sounded like crap. Oh, you were missing a lot of features, man. So we could see something like that similar to these new consoles too in the future. Like, let's say, yeah, you could play these games, but there's going to be certain things not available.
Right.
Because of the power of the console.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, think of this scenario. If Neo comes out this year, right? So that's 2016. By 2019, the successor to the Neo is probably going to come out. PlayStation 4 games will not be able to play games on that 2019 console, but Neo can play games on that 2019 console. Same with Scorpio. You would imagine 2019, 2020, successor to the Scorpio comes out. Mm-hmm. Xbox One is no longer going to be able to play games on that system. Yep. But Scorpio will be able to play. You know what I mean? So, look, it's technology. It's just the way things are changing. I personally look at it this way. I'd rather see hardware upgrades every few years, but you're still allowing my older system to be able to play those games because it gives me the choice of when I decide to upgrade. I'm not forced into upgrading every couple years unless I can afford to. And if I can't, you really still have the same 5 to 6 year console cycle that we're used to, because they're basically saying, look, after six years, we are no longer supporting the Xbox One. That's fair. You can't argue that. You can't, because that's been the base model for decades anyways with consoles. So if after 6 years, your Xbox One can't play a game 6 years from now, that's okay. Right?
Yeah.
I think.
And another thing too, guys, that this is not it's not confusing the consumer at all, because hopefully if they do it right, based on the marketing and the advertising that we see on TV, online, and so on, for like the regular consumers that are not into the whole blogging and podcasts and YouTube, they're not going to confuse the consumer at all. I hope not, because the regular parent, they just go to Best Buy and they see a console or they see a device for like really, really cheap. They're probably going to buy that too. They're not thinking about power or anything like that, you know? So for like the little Johnny of the world, right?
Yes.
right, Paris? So
right, for little Johnny.
Do you think that is possible to confuse the consumer based on so many different choices that is coming out?
It is. And, you know, again, this applies to Sony the same as it does for Microsoft. It really comes down to getting the message right, which, like we were kind of joking about earlier with 2013, that was the issue in 2013. Microsoft screwed up their message where Sony got their message right. And here we are today with 40 plus million PlayStation 4s and like 20 plus million Xbox Ones. Just because of that. Just because of the messaging back in 2013. So it is critical for both of these companies. Hell, even Nintendo with the NX. You got to get that messaging right. You got to lay out the vision so that the average consumer understands the path that you're trying to go down with these games and with this hardware. Because if you don't, people are going to get confused and they're going to go with the one that makes sense.
Yep. Now, speaking of Nintendo NX, now that all these rumors are coming out for Sony and Microsoft, once again, it's going to be the underpowered system. If the rumors are true, like the way how they were planning to release this console, supposedly it was first more powerful than PlayStation 4, then now it's saying more powerful than Xbox One of the older consoles. But now that these new consoles are coming out, it's going to be probably underpowered too, man.
But it's like I was saying last week with Nintendo. They're doing their own thing. Nintendo's going to Nintendo.
I'm buying either way. So.
We've already been told E3, they're letting the media know 90 minutes for the Zelda demo. Make sure you got 90 minutes for it. So it's like they're banking on their unique experiences that they can do because they're Nintendo versus they're like, look, Reggie's like, look, we ain't getting in no damn arms race with Microsoft and Sony with all these crazy, you know, hardware upgrades and stuff. We're going to make a system that's smart for us. We're going to make our games that we know we can do. And Pete, we have our loyal audience. They're going to come to us and play the games. That's what they're doing.
Yes.
Let's take a word from our sponsor, Gamefly. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to Gamefly. They are the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Look, we've been talking about Gamefly for weeks now, so you guys know if you want to get into a game and movie rental service, Gamefly is the absolute best thing to check out. So check out these few things. They are the leading video game rental service. They have over 9,000 titles to choose from. they let you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want. You'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And like we said, they also offer movie rentals too. So go to Gamefly.com/gamertag. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/gamertag. So sign up today and start playing all your favorite games or watching your favorite movies absolutely free for 30 days at Gamefly.com. Use our code /gamertag.
30 days. Take advantage of that. Go for it and try some games, man. All right. So let's play this next voicemail. This is from this person sent us a trivia question. Actually, it was for me about the whole Jet Set Radio trivia. So did I answer the correct answer? Let's find out right now.
Hey, guys. Ben from Tennessee again. Just wanted to call it a let Daniel, you got it right. It was Jet Dash. Good job, man. One for you. So I just wanted to call in say again, thanks for your feedback. You guys are really, I really appreciate you guys answering my questions on the show. It's really cool to always hear from you guys, hear your opinions. But now this week, I got a little question for you. So I heard that Xbox is going to be releasing apparently the new prototype Scorpio, which I'm not really surprised that they finally came out that they're doing another one. But this one's coming out in 2017. I've heard that, I don't know if this is a rumor or if this is confirmed, but I just saw something on IGN about it. And I just wanted to know what you guys have your take on it. Do you think this is a smart move, if this is really like what's going on with Microsoft? Because to me, it is a smart move because they're holding back and seeing how PlayStation's going to do. Also, I wanted to ask, what's your favorite game that's coming to E3? I asked you Trilogy, then I asked your favorite E3 conference. So what's your favorite new game coming to E3?
All right. So Paris, he also talked about the rumor Xbox Scorpio. We already talked about that and everything. His feedback about this whole rumor. And also, he asked a question about E3. So what is the game that you are most hype about that we know it's going to be available there at E3?
You know, I've been racking my brain about this. Because there's a couple that really intrigue me. One, because look, we now know it's real and people have played it and it's coming out this year, is The Last Guardian. I just want to see what that immersive experience is going to be all about. But I keep going back to Sea of Thieves. I want to see what Microsoft and Rare is going to do for this shared world. How is it going to work? I'm very intrigued to check that out at E3.
Same here. And also, you know, I definitely am hype up. I'm very curious about the Friday the 13th game because I love horror games. I love horror games. So they are going to be outside of the LA Convention Center. They're going to be at one of the developers. They're going to be located at some hotel. And I think they're going to have the media play the game for like a 30-minute hands-on demo, something like that. So I'm excited for that. And also, guys, Battlefield and Timefall 2, I'm excited for that too, man.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I mean. There's so many I'm curious about, because I mean, it's like Mass Effect Andromeda, duh. That's a no-brainer. I obviously want to see what that's like. Zelda, to me, obviously is a no-brainer. I want to see what that's like as well. But yeah, it's something about Sea of Thieves that just really intrigues me, that I am just so curious to see how they're going to pull it out. How is there going to be this big community that's going to be built around it? Always online world that's living and breathing. I really want to see what that's going to be about. And then, hey, of course, obviously the Destiny expansion. You know, I got to see that.
As always. Yeah. Now, what about the whole VR thing? Because look, last year VR was big, but I think this year is going to be even bigger because now Oculus, Valve's VR, and now PlayStation is going to have theirs over there too now. Are you excited about VR?
Well,
for this
see,
time?
Here's the thing. Like I said, Minecraft, I forget who I was just telling this to. Being able to see Minecraft on the Oculus, I was like, oh my God, I totally get it now. But, oh, you know what? It was freaking David I was chatting with. But
yeah, shout out to David.
I get VR. I'm just not ready to invest in it yet because, again, when I talk about that game, I don't see that game for VR yet. I don't see that experience for VR yet that makes me want to invest $500 to $1,000 in getting VR in my home. Because it's funny, and I meant to bring this up before when you were talking about VR with the whole Xbox, potential Xbox Oculus partnership has you interested. I was going to ask you, well, why not PlayStation VR? Why aren't you interested in that?
Because I seen reactions from just the Oculus side. You know, I haven't really seen something amazing for PlayStation VR. Now, this might be the year that's going to convince me to invest in that. You know, so I'm just waiting for the right game to change my mind about the whole PlayStation VR. Like, so far, the PC side of things got my attention, especially like horror games and stuff like that, you know? So I'm excited for that, man. You know, that's the reason why I haven't really been too hype about the whole PlayStation VR, man.
Yeah, see, my thing is, and like I said, when I was chatting with David, I'm convinced I won't touch not that I won't touch it. I mean, if obviously someone was like, hey, you want to try it? I'm going to try it. But I don't think I'm going to buy VR until holiday 2017 at the earliest. I think I'm going to wait it out that much, because if anything, it may be smarter to wait for the next revision of VR hardware than to get in on the launch hardware, so to speak, the year one hardware. So I want to wait. I want to see what it looks. I want to see how it all shakes out between Vive, Oculus, PlayStation VR. How is it all going to work this holiday going into 2017? And let's see where we are next holiday. I mean, like I said, I'm not against it. I want to see how it shakes out. I don't want to be an early investor in VR this time around. I want to wait and see who's gonna got to be the quote unquote leader for VR, and then maybe I'll invest into that.
And think about this, guys. The reason why Xbox is, if this is true, once again, this is all rumors. The reason why Microsoft has this partnership with Oculus. Remember, who is the owners of Oculus? Facebook. Facebook is the number one social media website in the world. Xbox, by having that partnership with them, you know, because Facebook, the reason why they purchased Oculus is because beyond gaming, it's just about media. Also, like the consumers could talk to their family. So imagine having Oculus on the Xbox One. This is a way also to promote the console and get people that don't have a PC, and they could buy the device for cheap and use Oculus for that. You know, so it's a great way for Xbox to get the name out there even more with this partnership with Facebook and Oculus. Am I right, Paris, or not?
No, I mean, it's definitely possible, and that is probably the strategy. It's rumors. So, I mean,
yeah, it's rumors. But here's the thing. Yeah, they're going to have the hardcore gamers to buy just for the gaming. But think about beyond gaming. You know, because look, I read this a couple of days ago. IMAX are thinking of having VR in their theaters so they could have like special VR movies at the theater that you could put that device on and watch that. Like, when it comes to the whole movie stuff and music videos and everything, VR is going to change that big time.
It's like I said maybe a couple months ago at this point, but I was saying, to me, the future of VR is going to be the social interaction, the social media experience of it. And again, this is probably why Facebook has invested in it, because I see a scenario one day in the future where we could do Gamertag Radio, literally we're together because we do it all in VR. And we could even have a live audience in VR watching us do the podcast, so to speak. You know what I mean? That's the kind of interaction and the potential that VR has. I mean, we're still very in early days of this, but that's where the technology is headed. And that's why Facebook is investing in it. So, yeah, you talk about the IMAX stuff, even with gaming, where we're all in the world together and we're interacting with each other together in this virtual world. That's where gaming is going to eventually go with VR. So it's exciting. I just think we're in the early days. Yep. Give it a few years before calling it a success or a failure. And let's just see where it goes, because the technology is sound and where it's headed. I mean, think about how technology advances. Think of where VR will be 10 years from now. It won't be, this will look like the NES. Atari. It'll be like the NES, the 8-bit graphics compared to where it'll be 10 years from now.
Big time, man. All right, so we have another voicemail. This is from a longtime listener, first time caller. Let's play it right now.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Anton. Gamertag is AURELNY. And I just want to say you guys are doing a fantastic job. I used to listen to you guys, and I still do. I kind of stopped for a minute because I was checking out, you know, like Podcast Unlocked and PlayStation Beyond. But I went back to you guys, and I think you guys, you know, fresh take, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. And the whole Xbox, PlayStation, I actually have an Xbox One, but I went over to PlayStation. Then I went back to an Xbox because I like the user interface much better. And I think with the, you know, the new Xbox coming out, the 1.5, you know, that I just saw on VGR, I was like, you know what, I'm definitely going to stick with Xbox. I think even though they're behind right now, I think they're going to definitely catch up. But I think you guys did a fantastic job, and I want you guys to keep it up. And long-time listener, but first-time caller. So if you guys want to add me, again, my gamer tag is A-U-R-E-L-N-Y on Xbox. Later.
All right, so he took a break from GTR. He was listening to other podcasts, and then he comes back again, and he says that we're getting better and better each and every week. So that's pretty cool. But he also talked about that he has an Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but he thinks that Xbox is going to catch up. Your thoughts, Paris?
Yeah, I mean, he's just saying, you know, hey, he gave PlayStation a shot, went back to Xbox. He likes the UI better. And, you know, he thinks, you know, they're doing a lot of things right. So when Scorpio comes out, he's just going to stick with Scorpio, which, hey, it's fine. I mean, that's the thing. You know, and I know when I talk, I get all these crazy people on Twitter mad at me all the time.
All mad.
But it's like, hey, look, if you're invested, and again, this is where it's all going, being invested in the ecosystem. If you're invested in Xbox ecosystem and your friends are all there, and you like the UI and you like all the things they're doing, you like the games that are coming out on there, absolutely stick with it. Don't be a crazy person like me and do different stuff. If that's where you want to put your money, then that's what you do. Do your thing. Yep. Are you
the listener? Are you happy? Are you happy exactly with the console that you have right now? It doesn't forget about this whole nonsense sales and most powerful. Or are you happy with what you have right now? It doesn't matter if it's Nintendo Wii U, Xbox One, or PlayStation 4. As long as you're happy and your family is happy, or friends or whatever, and you're having fun, that's all it matters at the end of the day.
Exactly, 100% agree. Because see, let me say this real quick before we move on to the next one.
Yeah,
my thing is this: you and I have been doing this for 10 years now at this point. Because
actually, 11 now.
Yeah, I know. It's so old. Because, like, for me personally, I'm fascinated with the gaming industry. I like talking about all the stuff that happens in the gaming industry, and I like trying different things. You know what I mean? Instead of just sticking to what worked with the Xbox 360, all right, I know Xbox is cool. I got my friends there. I'm just staying there. Instead, I'm like, you know what? Let me check out PlayStation Network. Let me venture into Steam. You know what? Let me do something crazy and just get rid of my Xbox One and just, I'm going to play all the games on the PC. Things like that, because I want to broaden my horizon so that when we are on this podcast talking about this stuff, I can say, well, I've experienced this, I've experienced that. That's why I think this way. You know what I mean? Instead of just assuming things and go, oh, well, Xbox is great and PlayStation sucks, or PlayStation's great and Xbox sucks. It's like, no, I'm saying the things that I say because I go out and experience them. Because it's so funny. I get into these conversations, air quotes, on Twitter with people that just doesn't understand why I play on PlayStation Network. PlayStation Network got all the issues. They suck. All your friends are on Xbox. Why, I'm just staying on Xbox. That's where my friends are. And my point is, well, I want to go make new friends then. That's why I go play on PlayStation Network. That's why I go play on Steam, because I want more than just my Xbox friends, if that makes sense. You know, and enjoy the entire gaming community, not just a segment of it. That's where I come from on stuff like that. So, like, the fact that, like, Anton, hey, he gave PlayStation a shot. He realized, you know what, this ain't for me. I like Xbox.
And that's fine.
That's
great.
There's
nothing wrong.
That's great, because you're coming from a point of, from an educated opinion versus just assuming stuff. And that's, dude, that's why social media is the greatest thing, but also the dumbest thing in the world. Because you.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
back on the scene.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to play this next voicemail from a listener all the way from St. Louis. Let's play it right now.
Hey, this is Kendrick from St. Louis. Been listening to your show for a while. Really enjoy the show. My question is, I'm an Xbox guy, and I'm an Xbox guy because I think they have a decent amount of games. I don't think they've had that game yet. To be honest with you, I don't think any system's had that game yet. I think even on the PS4, I think Horizon might be that game. I don't think Uncharted 4 was. But my question is, I just think, do you think, like with Uncharted 4 getting 10s right now, do you think relevance of a 10 is the same as it used to be? Like, I remember playing, like, Super Mario Brothers for the first time, or Metal Gear Solid on the original PlayStation for the first time, or even Resident Evil, or Gears of War, you know, on a 360 for the first time, or Super Mario 64 for the first time, or Super Mario Galaxy, you know, for the first time. Man, Contra on the regular Nintendo, you know, those games were just like awesome. I just don't see Uncharted on a lot of other games. I didn't throw a Grand Theft Auto in there. I just don't see those games now. They just throw 10s to everything, more so on the Sony side. I mean, they don't, like, I think right now, I think just like the PR that Microsoft had before they came out, they just never overcame that. They just had a hole that they've been trying to dig themselves out of before the console even came out. So I guess my question is, do you think that these games, I think I even heard Godfrey or Danny say that Uncharted is on the same level as Witcher 3. I think that's blasphemy, but I'm just saying, what do you guys think? I mean, I think the gameplay in Uncharted 4 isn't really that good. I mean, it's a good story. It's a great story. I think they're really good at storytelling. But when you break the game down, it's a shooter. It's a brawler. It's a action RPG, I guess, or not action RPG, but a platformer. And I don't think it's really great on any of those fronts. I think the gameplay is very mediocre in that game, yet it gets 10s in the game. I mean, it's basically a long movie. I mean, it's basically a video game version of a Telltale game, in my opinion. But I just want to hear what you guys think. Also, another thing I want to say is, what do you think about E3 coming up? And how do you feel about the past E3s, like Microsoft versus Sony versus Nintendo? Like, personally, I think Microsoft wins every year because they bring the games. I think they bring more games. I think even like Sony, they don't have the games, I don't think, personally. And a lot of times the games they do bring are multi-plats, or games that are so far out into the future that don't even matter. And I just want to know what you guys' opinion are. Do you think, you know, Sony gets a pass on a lot of stuff, or is Microsoft getting the shade all the time? Just, you know, what do you guys think? Thanks. Bye.
All right. Is it a game that gets a 10 right now, is it the same as a game that also got a 10 back in the days, review-wise? Huh. It's different though, man, Paris.
Well, no, it's different era.
Yeah, it's different era.
Because, like, okay, let's go. And again, Kendrick, thank you for the email.
Thanks, man.
When he's talking about Uncharted 4, like, for him, that isn't that game. Like, he just feels like it's a jack of all trades, but it's a master of none of them. And I totally get that, what he means about Uncharted 4. But I think it's the fact that it can juggle so many things at once, being a platformer, being a brawler, being a shooter, and then also have this encompassing story that engrosses mm-hmm. you into the experience. That's why it's getting all these 9s and 10s, and people are saying, yup, that's a game I would go get a PlayStation 4 because I got to play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like he said, he doesn't even think Xbox has that game, but he also seems to think that just overall they got a better library of games to come to, which, hey, again, matter of opinion, and that's totally fair, because, you know, we were talking about this last week. And trust me, I totally get what he means about going back in the day. Look, Contra, I ain't going to cuss, but Contra was the you-know-what back in the day on the NES. I still remember the first day I got that and played it. Things like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Mega Man, obviously all the Mario games, things like that. Those were amazing games for their time. You know, if you played them now, they're just, whatever. But at the time, they were amazing. And
you know what I think it is, Paris? I think that at that time, when we used to play those games back in the days, maybe it was because of the wow moments.
Yes.
Seeing the graphics like that for the first time, seeing the gameplay for the first time like that, maybe the music, or just the special moments from back in the 80s and 90s, seeing that for the first time, that's what we felt like, okay, those games deserves a 10. Nowadays, because technology has changed so much, now it's not the same wow moment as back in the days. But see, like I said, you know, Uncharted 4, contender of the game of the year, I compare it to The Witcher, because to me, The Witcher, yes, it was a wow moment when it comes to the open world and the gameplay and like the soundtrack and certain things, right? Uncharted 4 was more about they got it right when it comes to like the voice acting, the characters, the design, the, you know, like more, I got to see that more than just Uncharted 2 compared to the two, you know? So I don't know. I feel like those gamers have been playing, you know, those old school games back in the days, they're going to feel that way, man. They're probably not going to find that those special games nowadays, because they probably are still stuck in the whole gaming of the 90s, you know, which is hard to convince people, man, you know. So imagine playing Phantasy Star Online back in the days in 2000 using a 56K modem and communicating with other gamers through using a keyboard. That was a wild moment for me.
Oh yeah.
You know,
for sure
playing NFL 2K1 for the first time online.
Dude, changed my life.
Four players versus another four players. Like, that was a game changer. You know, it's harder and harder nowadays. Like, VR could be that wild moment for us gamers for nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. I have to say real quick, just going back to NFL 2K1, dude, I will never forget on the Dreamcast, the first time playing online, I'm like, oh my God, I'm playing against a real person. And we were trash talking each other using the keyboard. I go, the future is here.
The future is here. It can't get better than this.
Yeah.
I remember playing Mortal Kombat Super NES. Graphic wise, I was like, oh my God, it can't get better than this. No way. There's no way it's going to get better than this.
Yeah, 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 I know.
You know? It's harder and harder now with technology, man. But it's possible to see new things, man. It all depends on the developers for them to come up with new ideas, new things that we've never seen before. And at the same time, it's up to us, the consumers, if we like. Sorry, I had to say peace to my fiance. Love you, babe. The thing is, it depends also on us, the gamers in the community. If we support new ideas, that will help the industry grow even more, and the developers are probably going to come up with better and new ideas in the future, man. So if we still support the same thing over and over and over again, then we're not going to see innovative stuff in the future, man. You know?
No.
So it all depends on us, too, in the gamers of the community.
Agreed. 100% agree. Now, one last thing on him before we move on.
Yes.
He also was, you know, one of our thoughts about E3 winner, because obviously he feels that Microsoft wins every year due to the games, and was wondering if Sony gets a pass on that. I really think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show as far as current times. 2013. I mean, it really comes down to that. Sony gets a
pass. Message.
Sony gets a pass because of 2013, and Microsoft gets overly criticized because of 2013. And yes, I feel like Microsoft has done a great job of having games, like a lot of games. Like they try to be very diverse in their exclusive library, you know, of games, whereas Sony has not been so much, to be perfectly honest. And they lean a lot on indie and third party, but they're able to get away with it because of they have the perception of the superior hardware, and they have the perception of being the more consumer and community friendly. Now, Microsoft, I think, since Phil Spencer has been 100% in charge of Microsoft, they've done a great job of changing that narrative. But like we see, 40 million to 20 million, it's hard to catch up once you're behind. So all they can do is keep making great games. Like I said, they're fixing the hardware problem now with Scorpio and just move on. That's all they can do. And look, and we've talked about this a million times too. It ain't like Xbox is hurting, because it's compared to last generation, Xbox One is selling at record pace. So it just so happens that Sony is selling at an even higher pace. So the perception makes it look like, you know, not that they're failing, but that they're way behind because of that.
But that's the thing, man. It's people in the gaming media or just, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you see comments, and even on YouTube, you see comments of, oh my God, they're losing. Oh my God, and this and that. And it's not the truth, man. They're doing fine.
And, you know, you've said it in the past. I've said it in the past. Being in second place, like Microsoft being in second place, is good for all of us because makes them try even harder to earn our dollar. You know what I mean? Take it back to last generation. PlayStation Plus and things like that came about because Sony was in second place. And look how that changed things. Now that Microsoft is in second place, we're seeing that, you know, the games for gold. We're starting to see this Windows 10 initiative. You're seeing all these changes and things that are good for gamers overall because they're in second place and they need to earn our dollar back. That's what it comes down to.
I love competition. So please, absolutely. Sony, keep it up. Xbox, keep it up. Nintendo, keep it up. I love it. It's great for the industry, man. It's great for us consumers, man. So.
Yep.
Now, speaking of E3, very quick, before I play this other email, Paris, I know we talked about PlayStation, their press conference and everything, and now the more I think about it, the more I think that this press conference is going to be a lot smaller, like with a smaller crowd, and the reason why they're going to have a smaller crowd is because of the whole VR. They probably are going to have, everybody's going to sit down and have that VR on and so on. That has never happened before. If they try to do that, we have never seen that before during E3 in the past. This is going to be the first one ever. And if that happens, I think that the people that are going to attend that press conference are probably going to say automatically that Sony won based on just the experience that they've never seen that before. While Microsoft, they're probably going to have another announcements of games and so on, and the new console and so on. Do you think that's going to hurt Microsoft and help Sony because of the message or the experience?
But the only people that are taking advantage of the experience are the ones that are sitting in the crowd. Again, the biggest thing about VR is you don't understand VR until you actually use it. So anyone watching on television or Twitch or something like that's not going to get that experience if it does happen. The only benefit that they're going to get out of that is the people that do experiences. We're going to go on Twitter and we're going to write these stories and go on podcasts and all this. And we're going to talk about how amazing it may be. And maybe that sways someone that's on the fence to actually try it. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't think this would hurt anything that Microsoft would potentially do earlier that day, just because, you know, Sony had their presentation in VR. Look, we already know VR is coming. You got to think Microsoft's going to announce some stronger partnership with Oculus at their event. So we're going to know that Microsoft's eventually going to have VR. So I don't think so.
Yo, you know what would be crazy? Here goes, guys. E3 predictions for me. Very quick. Miss Leo.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamertag Radio's E3 predictions.
Facebook. Mark, CEO and creator of Facebook, at the Microsoft press conference with the creator of Oculus together to announce this partnership with Microsoft. Boom! Do you see it or not, Paris? I can see that happen.
Okay, I see it, but
I can see that happen.
But why does that get anyone excited?
Paris. You don't need it. Wait. Let me announce.
I want a dream.
Let me dream. Look, Paris. Here's the thing. As a person that doesn't have a PC, sometimes I'm like, damn, man, I would like to get that experience, but I don't have a PC. If they announce a partnership that you could play Oculus on your Xbox One, Paris, think about that. It's cheaper. It's
No.
It's going to excite me.
That's not what I'm saying. You were saying, excuse me, Pete trying to get me.
You're excited too? Look, he can't even talk.
Pete, fan mail.
Yeah.
No, I'm going off of what you're saying, like a buzz because Zuckerberg and Palmer Luckey are on stage. That's not what's going to get me excited, which also brings up a second question that you're talking about this.
Yeah.
Can Microsoft even afford to acknowledge that the Scorpio exists at this E3?
No, they are. Why not?
Well, this is rumors. I'm just saying. Because if you say, look, a year from now, we're going to have this amazing system that's four times the power of this current Xbox One. But, oh, while you're waiting, buy our new Xbox One Slim for $199. Wouldn't that not tank sales, but wouldn't that slow sales? And again, I think Sony has the same issue as well. Do they announce Neo at E3? I still think they wait. I really
Paris, think about this. There's people out there, they don't like this huge box having a delivery room. Oh my God, it's a slim version. Oh, it costs this. I'm getting the slim.
But then turn around a year from now and buy the Scorpio for $400.
But that's the thing. There is going to be a crowd out there that they don't care about power. They care about, oh, this is a smaller design. It's better than the last one. Let me just get this one now.
But you're telling me there's going to be something better a year from now, though.
Yes.
I'm just being
yes. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a crowd out there. They're not going to buy the Slim at all. They're going to buy Scorpio. They don't care about the Slim at all. But there's another crowd out there that, man, it's better than the one that I currently have right now. It's cheaper or smaller. Let me go with that. So you got to think of it. You got to think of it beyond hardcore gamers. This is more like just the average person. The little Johnnies of the world, Paris, their parents going to the store and they see this Slim for a very cheap price. You think they're going to buy that or they're going to go and wait for the Scorpio? Come on. Let's be real. They're going to go for the cheaper price. It's better for them. So Microsoft, it all depends on the messaging and the marketing to the consumers that don't care about E3, don't care about Kotaku and all that stuff, you know. And at the same time, those gamers that only have enough money to buy that console and they can't afford to get the Scorpios out there, you know. So that console is going to be expensive as hell. There's no way that's going to be cheap.
No, I don't disagree. So, okay, so let's go on record. Let's go on record right now. Forget Pete. Pete don't get to participate.
Pete's not here. You don't count, Pete.
Yeah, you don't count.
Yes.
I'm going on record right now. E3 2016 Microsoft press conference. They will announce that Xbox One Slim. It will be anywhere between $199 to $250. They're going to announce this Xbox TV, whatever you want to call it, streaming thing because of the whole Windows 10 integration with UWP. You'll be able to stream your Windows 10 games to your television using that and Windows 10 apps.
Yep.
And that's it. I think it's Sony. They will not announce the Neo either. I think they will wait until Gamescom. I don't think we hear Microsoft officially acknowledge Scorpio until after the holidays of 2016.
I think you're right. I think that Microsoft and Sony, they're not going to announce the price for the new consoles coming out now during E3. They're going to wait for Gamescom and announce the price there. I think it will be smarter because it's closer to the holidays. And at the same time, they would like to see what the competition is doing too.
No. We got to spice this up. We need a bet. We need an E3 bet.
Oh,
we
no.
need an E3 bet. So okay. Here's the thing.
All right.
Like I said, I don't think either company acknowledges that the new hardware exists at this E3.
I think they are.
Okay. If they do, we'll go to Roscoe's.
All right.
And I will indulge.
During E3.
Look, really, I can't lose, right? Either I'm right, either I'm right, or I'm wrong, and I get Roscoe's. So whatever,
all right.
It's good.
All right. So let's play this next voicemail from an international listener all the way from Ireland.
Hey, Gamertag guys, love the show. Just felt you guys were a bit down lately, a bit of negativity, a bit of pessimism, talking about social media, killing E3 and stuff. I love your show. I think the way it needs to work going forward is not with the news, not with the headlines, not with the hands-on latest kind of, you know, bringing the novelty to people. I think that the future is reactions. You know, I think if you're going to go, doing the journalism in the year 2016, it's retrospective thinking and commentary an analysis of things that have already happened, not trying to, you know, get the scoop, not trying to get the latest gossip and information and rumors, because you can't win that way. I think For people like you guys, you know, intelligence, history, got the kind of, you know, real gamer mentality, I think what you need to do is to, you know, do a summary and a commentary and kind of synopsis. So love the show, you know. Know that you have fans too, and that we need to hear it from you, and we need to know what you think, and you need to kind of give your opinion, and that helps kind of you know, set the trend amongst the community. So you have your place, you are really important. You know, whatever about you know, Danny trying to push the E3 and all the food on you guys, I get that, and you know, I get trying to keep the good bodies as well. But you know, I hope you guys have a great time. I know you're gonna have a great time. I'm really excited to hear all the great interviews and everything and stuff that you guys, you know, your feedback from the show floor and all that stuff. And if you change it in the future, you know, that's okay. And I just want you to know your fans are listening to you guys. And if you mix up your format a little bit or get some guests on the show, or I don't know, maybe even get people like me around the world to just record audio on your phone and email it to you, it's really easy. You know, you can accumulate and gather and then talk about, you know, those kind of opinions. But you guys are doing a great job. Can't believe it's, what, 10 years or more. You know, I think, you know, here's to another 10. Take it easy. Bye.
All right, Paris, your thoughts about this, man.
Okay, yeah.
Honestly, I didn't see your
thoughts. I love how you just asked my thoughts and then you cut me off to give your thoughts.
But I'm just
Pete,
very quick.
Do you hear this, Pete? Do you hear it?
I know. I'm just excited this whole podcast. No, but very quick. I didn't see us being negative last week. I think it was just reality, in my opinion. And also, I didn't agree fully what people were saying about social media killing journalism. I don't think so, but... But yeah, very quick. Go for it. Just want to say that. I know.
Oh my God. You crack me up. Okay. So,
all right.
No, first of all, thank him for this voicemail. Because when I heard it earlier in the week, I was like, yeah, we definitely got to talk about this. Yeah, I don't think we're being negative. Like for me, I don't think I'm being negative. I just think I'm being honest of where I see things going and how I feel about things. But the thing I do agree with him on, and this is real, this podcast and what we shouldn't be trying to break news. I think this podcast works better as us just discussing the things that are relevant and currently in the gaming industry, getting listener feedback, answering their questions and speculating on things that we think may or may not happen. I mean, our job is not to be TMZ. It really isn't.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think we're ever trying to be that way at all. But I like his idea of just getting more community guest interaction. And honestly, the best way to do that is how he just did it. Send us a compelling question or statement via voicemail. So that's why I encourage anybody listening around the globe, take advantage. Send us voicemails. Actually, let us hear your voice and what you're thinking versus just an email. And of course, email is great as well. If that's all you can do, that's fine. But I like shows like this where we're hearing from people. People are reacting to what we say, and then we react to what they say. And we're basically having a conversation. You know what
discussion.
I mean?
Discussion. Yep.
Via the podcast. That's the stuff that I like. That's why I like podcasting, because I would hope and pray that people don't agree with me 100% of the time. I prefer when people say, Paris, you're a freaking idiot, and here's why. Because then I go, well, really? Well, I don't think I'm an idiot, and here's why. And we're having a discussion. I'd rather have those type of conversations versus just, hey, Xbox and PlayStation is great, and go play games. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to hear that stuff.
Yeah,
we want to hear the good and the bad of the gaming industry and have an intelligent discussion about it. That's what I like to do.
Definitely. And look how much fun we're having recording this episode, Paris. And the reason is because, look, we didn't even bother to get, you know, news out there from different websites and stuff. This was because of the committee sending emails, sending voicemails. And we had a long, long conversation based on the voicemails and emails that we've been getting throughout the week. You know, so the more that we get from you, the listener, Doesn't matter if you're from here in the States or around the world, send us voicemails and emails. It will help the podcast. It will create even better content because of you. You know, so I'm having a blast, Paris, right? This is a right now we're recording on a Saturday morning. I have my coffee here on the side. You know, I wake up early in the morning to record, especially Paris. He's in the West Coast, so it's even earlier over there, you know. But look how excited, you know, we both are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of you, the listener.
Exactly. You know? We don't have Pete here. It's freaking great.
I know. Well, thank you, Pete. Take more vacation days now, listen.
No, but all jokes aside, agreed. And I would even say if you look at our past, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes, because I'd even tweeted about this yesterday, is keep the feedback coming, because I'm having a blast talking more about what the community wants to talk about versus just what we want to talk about. And that's because you guys are sending us emails and you're sending us voicemails and we're discussing them. Can we read and play every voicemail? Of course not. I mean, hell, we talked before this podcast started, like, look, man, as long as we get in a good 30, maybe 45 minutes, we're good. We're already at an hour. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
And it's just been voicemails. We haven't even read emails. We probably won't even read emails now because we've gone over an hour. But the point is, we do read your emails. We do listen to your voicemails. And we try as best we can to integrate them into the show. So please keep sending them.
Yep. And another thing, too, because I love the community, we're going to have a meetup July 6th at 5 p.m. in Chicago. Email me for more details, godfrey@gamertagradio.com. The reason is because our podcast got nominated lately, a couple days ago. The Academy of Podcasters announced the nominees for Best Games and Hobbies and other categories, too. And we're one of them. We're there with a great other podcast, too, I believe. There's a couple podcasts that I listen to that are also nominated. Hunter Truth, Podcast Beyond, P.S. I Love You, The Angry Chicken, Geekbox, The Giant Bomb Podcast, Vault IGN, The Fallout Podcast, etc. So, yeah, we all been nominated for the Best Games and Hobbies Podcast category. And it's going to happen. The award ceremony is going to happen July 6th, 2016, I believe at 7 p.m. But we're going to have a meetup at 5 p.m. So those listeners that's closer to the Chicago area, contact me and we'll make it happen. We'll get together and we'll attend the awards together. You know, I did that last year and had a blast, you know, meeting up with listeners from the Fort Worth and the Dallas, Texas area. So I would like to do that again, man. And, you know, and at the same time, we're there together, you know, together as a Gamertag Radio community. Boom. And if we win, that would be awesome too. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to everybody out there. Paris, I think we should wrap it up, right? You have anything else to say?
No. Just, hey, if you're in that Chicago area, definitely go meet up with Danny and give him a hard time.
Oh, there you go. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes. Share it with your friends. And also you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. If you can, review the podcast and iTunes and give us a cool review and to help us climb the charts. You could also subscribe there, man. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also record your message through there and it will go directly to us and we'll definitely play it in the future episode. We're getting ready for E3. It's only a couple weeks away. I'm very, very excited. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we can't talk about just yet. But the closer we get to E3, we're going to be talking about it, man. So,
oh, I got something I can talk about, though.
Okay, go for it.
But hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see on the next episode. But I'm going to the NBA 2K16 Road to the Finals. I'm going to the final, the championship match in L.A.,
okay,
which will be this Wednesday, and I'll get to meet Kobe Bryant.
Ooh.
I'm not sure how I'm going to react, but I get to meet Kobe Bryant. So I got to remember I'm a grown-ass man and don't get all fanboyish.
Yeah, but it's going to be cool. And also, I'm going to be recording next, not this episode coming up, but I believe the following week, We're going to have a special guest, Yami, the founder of Twinfinite.net. I'm going to have on a show. We're going to talk about E3 and so on. So I'm very, very excited about that, man. So we're going to record this at the CBS Radio studio here in Miami, Florida. So that's going to be a very interesting discussion. I can't wait for that, man. And that's about it, man. So yeah, we'll definitely hit you up. Everybody, keep us posted with your feedback and all that stuff. But we'll definitely will let you know any future updates about E3 2016. June 14th through the 17th, nonstop daily content, roundtable discussions, interviews. I'm talking about multiple episodes per day. You're not going to find that nowhere else, only here on Gamer Tag Radio. So stay tuned. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.